Councilmember Snyder is out of town and she's calling in. We're having trouble connecting to her, so feel free to chat.
Discuss amongst yourself, as some famous person once said. Some music, please.
This is Mary. Hello.
Ah. Hey, Mary. Can you hear us okay?
Maybe not.
I think she's disconnected. But I think she dropped
them. I don't know. See if she's still there.
Councilman Snyder, are you still on?
I heard of the disconnect.
It's all the money we spend on technology.
That reminds me, I need a new cord for my phone.
Okay. Is she going to call him? Mike will start, then have her join in. Or do you want to wait? Yeah,
let's go. All right.
I'd like to call meeting to order, please. Council members, microphones are live. Standish, roll call.
Mayor Hiramath.
Here.
Vice Mayor Waters. Councilmember Hornet.
Here.
Councilmember Pena.
Here.
Councilmember Rodman.
Here.
Councilmember Snyder. Councilmember Solomon.
Here.
Would everybody please rise for the pledge? We have with us today Miss Onita Davis, American Legion Auxiliary Oral Valley Unit 132, who will lead the audience in the
Mary,
pledge.
Mary, finally connected.
Thanks, Mary.
Ms. Davis?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and good evening, everyone. Upcoming meeting announcements, Ms. Nowak.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. On the screen, we have our upcoming meetings. The Water Utility Commission meets May 8th at 6 p.m. in the Hopi Conference Room. Please note the Conceptual Design Review Board meeting has been canceled. Town Council will hold its next budget study session May 10th at 4 p.m. here in council chambers. And the next town council regular session is May 17th at 6 p.m. here in chambers. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any council reports?
Mr. Mayor.
Vice Mayor Waters?
Just quickly, the hands-free driving ordinance, which was passed here in Oro Valley and put into effect on January 6th, was adopted by the Pima County Supervisors yesterday on a 3-2 vote. So now, if you're hands-free in Oro Valley, don't wait to get into Pima County to pick up your phone because it won't be allowed there either. Now we have the Tucson City Council also has our ordinance, thanks to our police department and all the people who work so hard on it. And they have it as a secondary offense rather than a primary offense, but we're expecting they're going to punch that up. Then that leaves Marana and Sierra Vista to create a region-wide hands-free driving ordinance, which will bring some pressure on the state of Maricopa to our north. So be careful out there.
Any other council reports?
All right.
Being none, we'll move to department reports. Mr. Sharp?
Mr. Mayor, we have no reports from department heads.
All right. I have reviewed the order of business, and it will stand as posted. Call the audience. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, mayor and council are not allowed to discuss, respond to, or take legal action on matters raised during call to the audience. At the conclusion of call to the audience, council members may direct town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticisms made by speakers. I have three speakers today. Barry Lemieux.
Assume this is working. It is. Thank you. Mr. Mayor and council members, my wife and I live at 630 West Kayak Concordia next to your stormwater and public works facilities at 680. Approximately 1 year ago, and some of you will remember, I and others addressed the council citing our neighborhood's concerns with the deplorable condition of 680. Plants screening your facilities have been allowed to die. Asphalt, metal structures, and heavy equipment added, and traffic, noxious smells, and noise dramatically had increased. Your industrial facilities were visibly incompatible with our residential neighborhood, and you were not acting like a good neighbor. Just the opposite. Promises had been made and broken over the years. In short, we had little confidence in the town to do the right thing. Well, we underestimated your eagerness to do the right thing. The town is making amends for years of neglect. The dead oleanders have been removed and new ones planted and properly irrigated. They're doing well, and an 8-foot masonry wall has been erected around the heavy equipment cars. Was it that important?
That's Councilmember Snyder.
That point was one of my best.
Yes, we keep having technical difficulties, Mr. Mayor. I can't hear you at all. So then I get disconnected and I call back in.
Okay.
And again, we are dead.
No, you're live.
I'm feeling dead right now, actually. But, anyway, the plants are being properly irrigated. They're doing well, and an 8-foot masonry wall has been erected around the heavy equipment yard. And proposed, I understand, is a plan to further enclose the yard by installing a solid gate. So at long last, our town of Oro Valley, is becoming a good neighbor to us where we surround 680. I'd like to thank interim town manager Danny Sharp and key staff members Paul Kiesler and Amy Ramsey, who've been responsible for planning and overseeing the improvements. And special thanks to Phil Trenery, the man on the scene who manages the project on a day-to-day basis. He's a good neighbor and he's become a friend. And of course, we thank the master mason who built the wall so ably with the help of his fellow ADC workers. Certainly a very resourceful and responsible approach by the town. You got the job done economically while keeping prisoners engaged and productive. And not only is the wall mitigating the sight, sound, and smell of your facilities, it's also helping to secure those facilities, including your highly exposed and vulnerable fuel station. So in summary, thanks for your recent neighborliness. We look forward to more of the same in the coming year, first by installing that gate on Milagro to more fully isolate the yard from view and vandals, and secondly, by maintaining the irrigation system, enabling plants to thrive around 680's perimeter. Quite frankly, while my neighbors and I would prefer that the town's facilities be located elsewhere, somewhere more appropriate, we're incredibly pleased with your efforts to minimize 680's negative impact on our residential community. Again, many, many thanks, Paul, Danny, and to the council.
Thank you. Donald Bristow?
Donald Bristow, Oro Valley resident, mayor and council. I received from a couple of people in town a notice they received and said to the town of Oro, I need your help. We have hired a consultant team to assess El Conquistador Golf and related food and beverage operations. Your feedback is critical part of the process. We invite you to join us for a workshop where you have an opportunity to provide your input and share your ideas with consultants Forrest Richardson and National Golf Foundation WLB Group and the town staff. And it says it'll be tomorrow night at the Gaslight Music Hall. And then there'll be a chance afterwards, a workshop. My wife then called the town and asked, is the public invited? And they said, oh yes, and that was last Thursday. And notices will go out so the public will be aware of this meeting. Well, we've been looking for those notices. There's nothing on the town website, nothing in a neighborhood meeting part of the website, nothing on the Park and Rec. Obviously, the citizens are not invited to this meeting. This meeting should not be restricted to the people who live around the golf course, who are the ones who received this notice. So I would suggest that this meeting be canceled and rescheduled after you've done the appropriate notification to the residents of Oro Valley. Thank you.
Thank you. Jerry Ottoboni.
Good evening, Mayor and Town Council. My name's Jerry Ottoboni, and I live in Oro Valley. And I'm sure you're all aware that Oro Valley is in Pima County, and I attend all their meetings. Chuck Hoberry, the administrator, Mary Hiram's friend, just raised your wastewater fees 3%, which doesn't cover the $8 million expenses. Also, in the taxpayers, surprisingly, just found out that we are paying $876,230 for very expensive furniture for a Worldview, which according to the Arizona Daily Star should not require we the taxpayers to pay. For example, a simple little chair that would cost, say, $20, $30, they are paying $200 per chair. They voted to have we the taxpayers pay $15 million for their contract for the Worldview, especially when the judgment against the administrator in favor of we the taxpayer. Now Mr. Huckleberry wants to appeal it with our tax dollars. Also, your evaluations have gone up, so you will have your property taxes increased. Therefore, we do not need another secondary tax. So I'm asking you all to vote no on the bond. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further speakers, so we'll move to presentations. Mike, presentation number one.
Presentation of youth art, veterans, and first responders art display.
Hello, Mayor and Council. Thank you for having us back, the Youth Art Program. We are back for our second annual Memorial Month honorarium art display. And this year, we decided to expand our notion of the people who serve our community. We have included the military, but we've expanded it to first responders. And so we approached Danielle Rutherford, the art teacher at Ironwood High, and she spoke to her students with the notion that students would actually know someone who served in the military or served in the capacity as a first responder and have a real buy-in to want to spend time conversing with these people and honoring them with a portrait. So we have 9 beautiful portraits, but before we present them, we just want to say a great big thank you to our police, to our firefighters, to our EMTs, to our doctors, to our military, to all of those who serve so, so generously with their time and heart and passion. So I'm feeling a little short or tall or something here, but we are going to present this in 3 clusters. So the very left side cluster of 3 were created by Maddie, Carly, and Lexi. And if I could have them come up and join us, we would be so happy. So the first beautiful portrait you see was created by Maddie Benjamin, and it is a portrait of her father, who is here with us, who came in a very shiny red vehicle. Yes. And Antonio Benjamin is a fire captain for Golden Ranch Fire Department. He has served our community for 23 years. Thank you, sir. Thank you. And thank you, your colleagues. And Maddie told me that he has a passion and a specialty in wildland firefighting, yes? And I wanted to ask Maddie, what was it like painting your father, drawing your father?
It proved to be somewhat difficult because I got to see him every day, and it made me a super perfectionist while doing this portrait. And I didn't tell him I was doing it for a while, and I would tell him, like, I'd be like, Dad, come here, like, let me look at your eyebrows. And he'd be like, why do you want to look at my eyebrows? And then eventually it made sense. But it was fun. It was great.
Well, when her father walked in, we knew exactly who he was. Good job. Yes, you're quite a draughtswoman. Our next beautiful portrait was created by Carly, of her father as well. And, you know, I'm going to not blunder here with the pronunciation of your last name. So your father's name is?
Steve Arechiga.
Arechiga, and I would have gotten that wrong. And Steve has worked in, he is an Army veteran, and he worked in his capacity as a postal clerk for the Army stationed in Belgium, his service from 1973 to 1977. And Carly created that beautiful portrait, pencil on paper. And we would like to thank Steve for his service to our nation. Thank you. What was it like to portraiting your father?
Well, I agree with Maddie that it was very difficult because I know him so well. But it was really cool, like, being able to draw him when he was young. And the whole process was really rewarding because, I don't know, it's a really special piece since it's my dad. And asking all of those questions, I think he really appreciated. And my brother was there too. We really were interested to hear about his time in the Army. And I think it kind of brought him back to the old days. And he really felt like special that we were asking him. And I don't know, it's a special piece, so.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And our last piece is a student, Lexi. Lexi Carter here is from CDO High, and she is the one student who took time out of her very busy schedule. You can imagine it is the end of the school year for all of these students and teachers to create a digital portrait of Buzz Hackett. And Buzz, it was in the U.S. Air Force, an A/2C and first responder in the armed services from 1957 to 1961. He was with the U.S. Park Police from 1962 to 1982. And how did it go for you to find Buzz?
Well, my mom met him through work. She works on a golf course, and he was there one day, and she started talking to him about the project because I asked her if there was anyone that she knew that I could do it on. And so she gave me his contact information, and we ended up going over to his house. And I didn't have to ask him any questions about his time. He just kind of started talking, and he went on and on. We ended up being there for 4 to 5 hours just learning about his experience. And it was all in all very educational for me getting to learn more about him. So,
wow. Beautiful. And I want to thank all three of you. I don't think Buzz is here, but we thank him for his service. And all of you need to remain here, but we're going to make room for others. So maybe we can sit here. I don't know if you all can just sit here because you're going to come up for a portrait. And I am now going to pass the mic to my dear friend, Joanne.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Council, and fellow Oro Valley citizens. The next cluster that we have is a wonderful arrangement of canvas as well as paper and charcoal. The first one is Alma Slater Wyatt, and I am first of all going to call up the artists that have done those three. I believe that we have here Sophia Patch, right? Okay. And to continue with the first piece, that is a wonderful piece of Alma. He was a veteran of the U.S. Army. His service began in 1941, and that is done by Sidney Waymond. He received 4 medals of honor during his service, and that is oil on canvas. And that painting is Alma Slater and his wife on their wedding day. So I think that's wonderful. Sydney, are you here? Oh, I'm sorry. Good, come. And tell us a little bit about what provoked you to do that.
Well, this is a portrait of my great-grandfather on my dad's side. He died, but I was able to meet him before he died. And I actually had a relationship, and he lived in Idaho. And we go to Idaho, and I heard about this, and I was like, oh, I really want to paint my great-grandpa. And so I painted this.
And I believe he had a farm, right?
Yes, he lives on a farm. And, yeah, I don't know too much about it, but I did go to the farm, and we still have it.
Excellent. So that's great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And the next painting is Grandpa.
Great-grandpa.
And now Great-grandpa.
Yeah.
Okay. And Grandpa is a U.S. Navy. He served in World War II, and he escorted the troops across the English Channel to Normandy Beach. And that artist is Maddie Benjamin. She is with Iron Ridge High School. And then the third painting portrait in the cluster there is Donald Patch. He is a first responder. He is here in the audience this evening. And his daughter, Sophia, from Iron Ridge High School, is here. And Sophia, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I really wanted to make a picture of my dad for a while now, and I thought this was a great reason to do one. He's so humble, and he's like, oh, I'm a firefighter. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. But he deserves something special. He's been a firefighter for a long time, and I'm proud of him.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Lovely, and I have to tell you, the smell of oil paint in my living room was strong and inspiring. I'm going to paint this summer. So we would like to now invite, for our last cluster, did Kai make it? Come on up, Kai. And Natalie, would you like to come up and stand with me? And Joy. So I feel very special about this last cluster. Come on over here. These beautiful ladies have done some beautiful work. I'm going to start with Kai. So Kai Pernay painted a portrait of both her mothers on their wedding day. And I know we see Cheryl Horvath here quite often. She is the fire chief of the Mountain Vista District. Thank you for your service. And her partner, Sarah, is with Homeland Security. And there's something that I would like to say about Cheryl, who received, by the way, has received many awards, but also received a Woman of Influence Award, was that last year, through Tucson? And something that she wrote on her little intake that Kai did with her was that she has a deeper sense of service to her community as a result of her career. She is a public servant and takes her role and commitment very seriously. And I believe everyone that has been featured here feels the same way. And we are so beholden to you for your service to our community. So, Kai. The portrait Kai painted is the celebration of their wedding day, yes? And it's beautiful. And would you like to say something about your process?
Sure. Well, their wedding day was a very special day, and I wanted to capture it in a picture, you know?
And you did.
Yeah.
And you did. And you did. And I have to tell you a little aside. We love Amanda Jacobs because she seems to know everything about everything and remembers everything about everybody. And when we were laying out the portraits, I wasn't sure who that portrait was because my paperwork and just me. Amanda walked in and said, you know who that is. You know who that is.
you know who that is, right? It's Cheryl. And I said, Cheryl? And Margie said, yeah, Cheryl. And then I saw Cheryl walk in, and I said, Cheryl, nice work, Kai. All right, so Joanne, would you like to tell us how we somehow wound up with a beautiful fifth grader in our high school exhibit?
I was at one of the town council meetings probably a month or so ago, and your beautiful mother was here in uniform, and I said, Sasha, we have got to get that woman involved with our next project, and I saw that she was with you as well, and we said, we've got to find out who they are, and we came up and spoke with you, and we're excited that you're here.
Joanne chased them out the door and caught them. And then their wonderful teacher, Linda McCoy, supported Natalie on her process. This is all extracurricular for these students. This is not a part of their agenda, so this is extra. So this beautiful watercolor, which I think just signifies this month, this beautiful honoring of the military this month, was painted by you. And I wanted to say something. Your mom, Amber Pennington, who is here with us again tonight, served in the U.S. Air Force, and her specialty is a mental health technician. And your father is also in the military, yes? Is he back from Korea?
Turkey. He's in Turkey?
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that you wrote that I really appreciated. Natalie wrote, my mom's life in the service has affected my life by not really being able to see my mom enough. My mom goes to work for more than 12 hours a day. Thank you for your service. Thank you so much. So our last beautiful portrait here is of a mother. A mother and a doctor, and her beautiful daughter, Joy, is with us today. So Dr. Maria Mona, who is a first responder, a doctor, her specialty was in nutritional science, helping people with those sorts of issues in nutrition and making themselves healthier. And we met Joy when we came to present this project to Mrs. Rutherford at the school. And Joy was there eagerly listening and painting, and she became involved in this. And I would like to share, may I share, that your mother has recently left us. She recently passed away. So this has been a huge, brave, courageous act to create this Be Here With Us. But I want to put a shout out before I have you speak, because I was looking at this portrait and I was thinking about this portrait and I was thinking about first responders. Who are the first responders in all of our lives? Our mom. Our moms are always the first responders. So being May and Memorial Month, it's also Mother's Day Month. So I want to put a shout out to all the moms in this room and on the planet who are the original first responders. Joy, would you like to say something? I also want to say something about Joy. So, Mr. Mayor, you were honored in Washington, D.C. this year. Well, my dear Joy was honored last year in Washington, D.C. for her portrait of Gandhi. So you went to Washington last year and took your beautiful teacher with you. And this elegant young lady will finish our beautiful presentation with a few words.
Hello, I'm Joy. I started this piece back in December. It was actually a self-portrait, and my teacher gets on me about starting paintings over, but I had a random urge to paint over it and paint a portrait of my mom, and I didn't really understand why. But I took black paint and painted all over my face and started from there. It took a long process because I used black paint as a base, which was a mistake. Because oil paint is so thin and transparent, so it took many, many layers, and actually it's not finished. Once I get it back, I'll add more layers. But this is such a special piece to me because, yes, she passed away. She had breast cancer, and she made such a difference in all the lives she encountered. She specialized in nutrition. She believed in natural medicine. And she is really my inspiration. I didn't start art for myself. It was in honor of her. And so this is such a special piece to me to finally bring her back in my life again. So thank you.
So that is our Memorial Month presentation, and I believe you have something to say?
I do, and I'm going to make my way down there, but before I do, for going above and beyond and participating in our second annual Veterans and First Responders Art Exhibit, can the following teachers please come up to the podium? And that's going to be Lee Street from CDO High School, Danielle Rutherford from Ironwood Ridge High School, and Lynn McCoy from Copper Creek.
Linda, yeah. And Mr. Street was not able to make it this evening because he is putting up an art exhibit at CDO.
So on behalf of the town council and staff, we are extremely excited to see our schools and arts and culture ambassadors collaborating to enhance the arts and culture offerings in our community. And for each of the teachers, we have a $50 Visa card. So thank you so much for your support.
And we would love to have all of our famous subjects come up and join the artists, and all the artists stand up. We would like to take a picture of you tonight.
And also, if there's any veterans in the audience and first responders, please join us in the picture. This event really is for you, so come on up. Okay, Mike, number two.
Proclamation, Oro Valley American Legion Auxiliary Poppy Days.
Misty blinded me with a flash three times, so I have to put on my shears here. Office of the Mayor, Oro Valley, Arizona, proclamation. The Oro Valley American Legion Auxiliary Poppy Days. Whereas America is the land of freedom, preserved and protected willingly and freely by citizen soldiers, and whereas millions who have answered the call to arms have died on the field of battle, And whereas the members of the American Legion Auxiliary are dedicated to upholding the ideas of freedom and democracy while working to make a difference in the lives of fellow Americans. And whereas a nation at peace must be reminded of the price of war and the debt owed to those who have died in war, and the American Legion Auxiliary Oro Valley Unit 132 has pledged to remind America annually of this debt through the distribution of the memorial flower, a red remembrance poppy. And whereas the American Legion Auxiliary Oro Valley Unit 132 believes the observance of Memorial Day provides a fitting opportunity to honor our fallen heroes by wearing the red poppy. Now, therefore, I, Dr. Satish I. Hiremath, Mayor of the Town of Oro Valley, Arizona, do hereby proclaim May 19th and 20th and May 26th through 28th as the Oro Valley American Legion Auxiliary Poppy Days. And in conjunction with the observance of Poppy Days, urge everyone to support the Oro Valley American Legion Auxiliary Unit by wearing a red remembrance poppy this Memorial Day weekend, dated this third day of May 2017. And if I could have Ms. Sonita Davis come up, please.
Anita Davis, resident of Oro Valley. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Town Council. And if you don't mind, I'll turn my back to you for just a bit. I want to speak to the attendants here. First of all, someone said to me earlier, and he may have been joking, he said, "What's a poppy?" And so I said, "Well, just wait and you'll find out." The town council has been very generous to allow me to speak each year about this time because it's almost Memorial Day. But more than that, May is Military Appreciation Month, Military Spouse Appreciation Month, Memorial Day is in May, VE, Victory in Europe, is in May, Armed Forces Day is in May, and I feel really that this is so appropriate because we just had the wonderful presentation for veterans and first responders. So I just want to share a little bit of information with you. Yes, we observe, we meaning the American Legion Auxiliary Oro Valley, observes Poppy Days in two segments, because Fry's is so wonderful to us and they allow us to solicit in front of their stores. So the 19th and the 20th will be at the Fry's at Lambert and La Cañada. And then on the 26th, 27th, and the 28th, we will be in front of the Fry's at Oracle and First Avenue. But let me share a little bit of information with you very quickly about poppies. The American Legion National has petitioned Congress this year to make May 26, 2017, National Poppy Day. Now you might say, well, big deal, Onita, you're here every year and you're bugging us with poppies. But the United States did not have a National Poppy Day. Unlike Great Britain, Ireland, Canada, France, Belgium, Germany, Kenya, and on and on. And so we wanted to join the rest of the countries in the world who observe a National Poppy Day. So when people say to you, if you're wearing our red poppy, your poppy doesn't look like our poppy, you might want to ask them where they come from, because the Canadian poppy is different, the VFW poppy is different, the disabled veterans poppy may look different, but it's still the idea behind it. The American Legion is pleased to bring Poppy Day to the United States in hopes that we can raise the awareness of people in this country about the debt that they owe to our veterans and our military. And I think someone said it much better than I could ever say it. So I'd like to read to you a poem that was written by Helen Glass, who, believe it or not, is a World War II veteran who is a member of the American Legion and the American Legion Auxiliary. And she's an award-winning poetess. And it's entitled, A Poppy Speaks. And I think that this will answer any questions any of you have about why we're wearing these little crepe red poppies called remembrance flowers. In Flanders field, the poppies bloom among the crosses lined in rows, a blanket of love from God above to cover the graves of our G.I. Joes. But here in America, lest we forget, many other poppies bloom, made by a veteran confined to a chair or a lonely hospital room. I am just a simple little flower made of wire and paper of crepe. But in the hands of a disabled veteran, I'm molded gently into shape. Each year, the American veteran honors those who have gone before with a special salute to their memory and the sound of taps once more. But they will also never forget those who still the price must pay. And each vet will wear a poppy in their honor on Poppy Day. Won't you take the time to wear me and donate a coin or two to show your love and appreciation for all they have given you. May God bless you. May God bless our military and our veterans. And may God bless America. Thank you.
With that, we'll entertain a motion for consent.
Mayor.
Vice Mayor Waters.
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Mr. Standish, regular agenda item number one.
Public comment, resolution number R-17-17, ordering and calling a special bond election to be held in and for the town of Oro Valley, Arizona, on November 7, 2017, to submit to the qualified electors thereof the question of authorizing the issuance and sale of general obligation bonds and a secondary property tax as security for improvements for Naranja Park.
Staff report.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, at the April 19th council meeting, town council directed staff to prepare a formal call for a November 7th, 2017 special bond election to fund the improvements for Naranja Park. The call for election, as depicted in attachment one, contains the full text of the proposed ballot question under Exhibit A. Should council approve calling a special bond election for November 7th, 2017, an informational pamphlet will be prepared and mailed to each household with a registered voter not less than 35 days prior to the date of the election. Any persons wishing to submit an argument for or against the bond question may do so by following all the requirements listed in Exhibit B of Attachment 1. The filing period for submitting arguments for or against the issuance of the bond shall be from July 10th, 2017 through July 21st, 2017, by 5 p.m. Instructions for submitting arguments for or against will also be made available on the town clerk's website webpage. And the deadline to register to vote in the November 7th, 2017 special bond election is Monday, October 9th, 2017. And that concludes my report, and now I'll turn it over to our finance director, Ms. Lemos, for the remainder of the presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I will go ahead and give just a brief review of the PowerPoint that was given at the last meeting in Christie's place. And it's primarily the same information, but then it includes some additional information that may address some of the questions that were brought up at the last council meeting on this item. So this is really just an overview of the proposed project at Naranja Park for the funding and construction of additional sport fields and amenities. Again, the brief background, town council held two meetings during April. April 5th was to have staff present a proposal to build and finance the additional sport fields and related amenities at Naranja Park. Council requested that this item be brought back for inviting public comment on the April 19th council meeting. And at that meeting, the council requested that staff bring this back as a question for council consideration to place on the November 7th, 2017 ballot for a decision by the Oro Valley registered voters. Again, a brief history of Naranja Park. In 2014, the town began the process of updating the 2002-2007 Naranja Park Master Plan. In April of 2015, the town council approved that master plan update. And then in December of 2015, the town council authorized $2.3 million to start the phased development at Naranja Park. In June of 2016, the beginning of this fiscal year, town council approved $350,000 in the current year budget, and we're requesting another $380,000 in the upcoming budget for fiscal year 17-18 to fund two additional lit multi-use fields at Naranja Park. And then again, in November 2016, the town's general plan was approved with 70% of voter approval, which contains a number of goals and objectives supporting expanded parks and recreation facilities and services. While I'm still on this slide, there was a question that came up at the last council meeting posed by Councilmember Snyder. She asked how long it could take to build the proposed fields if we were to continue down our path on a pay-as-you-go method or basis. And so using the amounts that are included on this slide between what we've already invested in our fields and what we're proposed to spend, we have about $3 million that we will have invested in these fields between 2015 and 2018. $3 million over the last or coming 3 years, roughly about $1 million a year. And so with our proposal that we presented at about $17 million, we would estimate anywhere from about 15 to 20 years to continue on a pay-as-you-go basis if we were to fund this with cash as we went. This is the diagram of the elements at Naranja Park. The blue line in the center, everything to the left of that blue line is what exists out that, at that park right now. We have our archery facility, our dog parks, our two fields that exist, as well as the two proposed fields that we will be building and completing in fiscal year 17-18. And then everything to the right of that blue line is in the proposal to build the additional multi-sport fields, the three fields there, the four diamond fields, restrooms, concession stands, the related parking amenities, the playground, maintenance facility, and then the related infrastructure improvements to support this plan. Also, while I'm on this slide, we have updated this slide to show very lightly the paved pathway access from the Montero Vista neighborhood that was discussed at the last meeting. So that will be included as part of the plan to allow for paved access from the neighborhood next to the park. Also wanted to address another question that came up at the last public hearing. We heard a few requests at the last public comment session on the 19th regarding the possible addition of mountain bike trails in the park. And this is something that we can definitely evaluate the feasibility of using if we have dedicated bond funds that are dedicated to paying for the expansion of the fields out there. This frees up available general fund capacity to be able to use toward building those mountain bike trails, possibly even with our own in-house staff and equipment in a low-cost manner. So that's something that's definitely feasible. This slide was added to address another question that came up at the last public comment period that was regarding the level of demand for the fields. Put together this slide to show the current usage along the top row of this table. You go across and it's categorized by season. We've got year-round use on our existing fields, total users in the top row amount to almost 5,700 users year-round at our current fields. And those are used by the leagues and the sports that are listed in the list below under current users, from soccer teams, lacrosse, football, frisbee, softball. But there's also the element of the unmet demand that is captured in this slide as well, from the teams that we aren't able to accommodate. They play on the school fields, they play in other areas, and those numbers are there at over 600 users where we're not able to accommodate the demand and they play elsewhere. That's for the Oral Valley Little League, the Oral Valley Dolphin Football, and also our ability to attract and hold large-scale tournaments. So with the development of these fields, we would be able to definitely meet the demands based on these numbers of over 6,300 users on an annual basis. The financing plan, again, is summarized on this slide. The estimated project cost for the fields and the amenities are about $16.7 million, plus the related bond issuance costs, amounting to a $17 million general obligation bond is what is proposed to finance this project. This bond would be paid off over 20 years with a dedicated secondary property tax. Both of these items require voter approval in a November election, and that election is would be planned for this November. The dedicated secondary property tax would be raised to pay the annual debt service, principal and interest payments on these bonds of about $1.4 million. And this tax would sunset at the end of that term once those bonds are paid off. And any reauthorization of that tax would require voter approval again. Based on our current calculations of our assessed property valuation in Oral Valley, the estimated property tax rate would be an average of 22 cents per $100 of assessed valuation. And that would equate to about a $4.50 per month impact to a home with a value of about $250,000 in Oral Valley. And also property owners, commercial property owners, would pay that as well, amounting to an estimated impact of about $39 per month for a commercial property with a value of $1.2 million. Also, it's important, and I pointed this out at the last meeting, that as our town continues to grow with new properties being developed, the amount of that debt service is spread across more tax-paying properties. The individual impact per household actually would decline over that time period. So I wanted to make that point as well. Finally, before I wrap up, I wanted to also add that we have our representatives from our bond consulting team in the audience this evening. They've helped us develop the numbers. They've helped us develop the bond language, the ballot language. Mr. Mark Reeder with the firm of Stiefel Nicholas, and Mr. Zach Sakis, our bond counsel with the firm of Gust Rosenfeld, are available if you have any questions for them. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Council, have any media questions? Councilman Hornet?
On the prospective ballot, is this two separate items, or is it just one item that covers both?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Hornet, it's one question.
Okay, I just got confused. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
All right, so I'll hold council questions. I do have six speakers, so I'll bring them up. Vaughn E. Barnes.
Mr. Mayor, council. I'm in favor of everything good for the children in the city of Oro Valley. I enjoy Oro Valley. Oro Valley is a great town. It should be everything it could be, and I'd like it to be the most that it possibly can be. But in spite of that, I oppose the this being on the ballot before the voters to vote on an additional property tax or bond. And there are many reasons for that. I don't have faith in a lot of the proposals. I've never seen a tax. Even though this is supposed to be only for 20 years, I've never seen a tax levied that was ever repealed. We're still paying for the Golden Gate Bridge. Every time you cross it, it's $5, $10, I think now, $5 to $10. And there's no purpose in going any farther, but that's I strongly oppose it. I have a lot of friends who vote here in Oro Valley, and they have the same feelings I do. Thank you.
Thank you. John Spiker. It's a long walk from back there.
Mayor, council members, staff, and public, thank you for being here. John Spiker, I'm an Oro Valley resident, specifically a Rancho Vistosa resident. I didn't want to fill out two cards today, so I'm going to talk on two different issues. I wanted to say thank you for the council member and Mr. Mayor for allowing your staff members and buyers not here, nor is Christie, for helping us try to resolve the issue at the WAPA Trail 180 up in Rancho Vistosa there. We may not get what we want, but can I see a show of hands for trail runners, mountain bikers, and hikers here today? So we've got quite a few people here specifically for those trails. And also want to speak about Naranja Park.
Okay.
We've got trail system out there right now, and we have a perimeter trail out there. We want to show you guys that trail users are an active part of the outdoor recreational group, and that we do support the economy here in Oro Valley. We contribute to sales tax, property taxes, et cetera. So I appreciate the folks trying to build in some mountain bike trails. I know originally Don McGann, who's in the back as well, we had a skateboard park and a mountain bike park or BMX component to that. It'd be nice if we might consider that down the road as future funds become available in addition to the fields. We all know if you've got multiple kids, I myself have a 4-year-old and 2-year-old. If one's playing soccer, one's got to be doing something else. We've got a playground, but we can't just have a multi-field facility. We really should be looking at diverse uses of that park. We just saw a slide up for most of the meeting here today about the 5K Memorial Run at Naranja Park, probably on those quote-unquote mountain bike trails. So I know the town's already embracing that use out there, so let's see if we can expand that a little bit. And again, we may not get what we want at the WAPA Trail. It's not over yet, but we are here. We're here to help, and we do sincerely appreciate your guys' support and your staff in making recommendations that support Oro Valley, not just a few people. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Richard Tracy?
Mayor, Council, my name is Richard Tracy. I'm a 20-year resident of Oro Valley, and I strongly support this bond issue, and I strongly suggest that you vote to put it on the ballot in November. Thank you.
Thank you. Brian Mitchell.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Brian Mitchell, and I've been a resident of Oro Valley for over 25 years. I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a coach, I'm a business owner. I've owned numerous businesses in Oro Valley. I've seen this town grow from a retirement community to a community filled with families and kids. I've seen this town boom amazingly in the last 7 to 8 years. It's incredible. Why do people live in Oro Valley? Why do I stay in Oro Valley? It's a beautiful community. We've got incredible views, oceanfront property here in Oro Valley with those mountains. We have great weather. Oro Valley has the best roads. I couldn't live in Tucson. Great, great bike trails and for people riding their bikes on the streets. We have a great library. We have a world-class aquatic center. It's a clean community, safe community, voted one of the safest towns in the state of Arizona. We have great leadership with our mayor and council. I'm very, very impressed what you guys have done the last 7 to 8 years. We have great schools. BASIS was voted one of the top 3 schools in the country. We have 2 new schools coming to Oro Valley that's going to be completed by the end of 2017. We have 4 great high schools filled with students and young kids. We have CDO, Ironwood, Push Ridge Christian, and BASIS. Why not great fields for our kids? Oro Valley has developed some amazing athletes. Ian Kinsler, Major League Baseball player for the Detroit Tigers today. Shelley and Chris Duncan played Major League Baseball for the Yankees and for the Cardinals. Blake Martinez recently graduated from CDO and Stanford, plays for Green Bay Packers. Kadeem Carey, running back. Why do we need to build fields in Oro Valley at Naranjo Park? Oro Valley is exploding with families moving into our town. That's a fact. We see it happening. Look at all the homes that are being built. My son plays baseball, flag football, soccer, basketball, and has never played a game in Oro Valley. Never played a game. Practices, but no fields to play games in. We have 300 Little League kids from the Oro Valley Little League that trek every day up to Catalina for practice and games. They need a home. We have flag football, tackle football for the Dolphins. They have no home. 250 kids. We have no home for lacrosse. We need fields for soccer. James Craig is full. Marana hosts tournaments. We don't have tournaments because we don't have fields. Is my time up?
No, good.
Okay. Why does building fields in Naranjo make sense? Our youth needs fields. We can host tournaments, which will drive revenue into our community. Will building fields at Naranjo help increase the value of our homes? Absolutely. Will building fields help existing businesses in Oro Valley? Will it help Torino? Will it help Harvest? Absolutely it will. Will building fields help existing businesses in Oro Valley, like restaurants and hotels and retail? Yes. Will businesses be more willing to open businesses in Oro Valley if the fields are built in Oro Valley? Yes. Will building fields at Naranjo Park make Oro Valley more marketable and attractive to businesses around the country that want great schools and they want to move here, but they also want athletics for their kids? Will building fields at Naranjo increase our sales tax revenue? Yes, it will. Does investing in our youth and keeping them active in sports in Oro Valley make financial sense? Absolutely. Deters crime. Do we want to continue to make our community great and better? Absolutely. Do we want to wait another 15, and I didn't see your notes earlier, I wrote this earlier today. Do we want to wait another 15 to 20 years to build out our fields at Naranjo Park? No, absolutely we do not. Let's make this a reality and build fields for the future of our community, the youth. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Donald Bristow.
Donald Bristow, Oro Valley resident. I support our youth and having facilities for them to use, but I do have some big concerns about this whole thing. The town did a survey for Naranjo Park programs and facilities, did an outreach survey. In that survey, playgrounds and play structures were the number one highest weighted thing. Ramadas and picnic areas, number two highest rated. Paved walkway paths, third highest rated. Yet every one of these is being downplayed within this facility. In my opinion, you're actually squeezing these in between sports facilities. So do we have a park? Yeah, we don't. What kind of park is it? It's a sports park, not a park for the community as a whole. If the community is going to pay all these bonds, it should be a community park. I hear everything about wonderful taxes we're going to get and all this. Well, you also have to, the citizens also deserve some consideration. It can't all be on the bottom financial line. It's going to flow in a way of taxes and bed taxes and so on. That's not why people moved here, to worry about that in total. They want facilities for themselves also. I'm also concerned about, I heard about the financing. It was based on a average rate of $250,000 for a home, and there was also one for, but that's going to go up over 20 years. We've heard how they'll adjust if we have more homes. What are we going to do with this increased property values? How are we going to spend that money? Or are we going to reduce the bond burden to the homeowners? That's, again, something that people are going to want to know before they vote on this. I'm also concerned that the survey that was done to support this by the petition site.com, Oro Valley Little League, there was 10,204 signatures. Only 162 of those signatures supporting it were Oro Valley residents. So again, we have a survey on the park that said these are the priorities residents want. You have another survey that isn't Oro Valley residents saying they want this. These things all need to be resolved before you ask the people to vote on a bond issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Fred Narcarati.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, staff, and community members. Just wanted to reemphasize what we've come together over the past year, and I guess now petitioning Mayor, Council for the past 4 years, is the need for fields and coming together as the Oro Valley Sports Alliance with all those groups that were mentioned there previously on the slide. That we just want to make sure that the folks know that this is the community that's coming forward with this. This is a community request. We are in a desperate need of fields, okay? I can tell you from my own personal history that not having those and living in this region since 1978, that it does lead to childhood obesity. And that's a personal factor with me. I think it's a big important thing that we need to do. We need to address this. We are an active community. I mean, if it's what we're looking for as a mission, I support the improvements at Naran Hall Park. I support improvements at all the parks. I support the improvements that the mountain biking community is also addressing. This is a dire need in our community to do this. And it was mentioned previously, it is also important that we keep kids active and involved. This does deter youth from getting into other things. So it's not just about the park. It's not just about the fields. This is an improvement in our life. This is an improvement in our town. I support it and just want you to know I'll still be here. So thank you very much.
Thank you. There are no other speakers. Councilmember Robin?
Just a question, Stacy. The point of if we have more homes and higher valuations, how will that affect the payoff on the bonds and the spread out of who pays what?
Mr. Mayor, Councilmember Rodman, as our assessed valuation in our community grows, given that we have a fixed amount of debt service that we have to pay every year and a fixed amount of money that we would need to raise from taxes every year, the tax rate actually would go down. And so there would not be an increased tax burden on homes that increase in value for our particular bond.
Because there's only X that needs to be paid every
Correct.
Year. So the more valuation we have, the more real estate taxes spread out over more, the less each person would pay.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. For now, that's it. Thank you, Mayor.
I had a question and I just lost it. Okay, I don't know. It's just in one ear, not the other. So, yeah, why don't you come on up? We have one more speaker. Just fill out a blue card at the end, but just state your name and.
Well, yeah, I fill out a blue card, but I put the wrong thing on it, I guess.
Oh.
My name's Kirk Astroth. I've lived here since 1976 when I was started as a teacher at Greenfield School. But I live across the street, I think, from Oro Valley. I live in what's the weird donut hole. We're not Marana. We're not Oro Valley. And even though I have a Tucson address, I can't vote in the Tucson elections. I've lived down at La Cañada and McGee, so I'm in a weird place. But my daughter went to CDO. She played soccer at Riverfront Fields. We shop up here, and so we do a lot of our business. I'm a mountain biker. I belong to the Cranksters Mountain Biking Club. And so I wrote a letter last time in support of the bond question. Glad to see that it's moving forward, and glad to hear that you heard from some of us about the mountain bike trails in Naranja Park. I used to bike those trails quite a bit, but once you put in the archery range, I stayed away from it because I don't like getting shot along with anybody else. So I hope that we can make some improvements on those trails. I'm also very glad to see the Big Wash Trailhead issue that was on the consent agenda. But I am sad to see that Bayer left, because our mountain biking club wanted to make a small presentation to him, and maybe somebody can give it to him.
Just give it to the town. I'll see he gets it.
Well, he's been so supportive. He came into the Lion's Den and met with a bunch of us mountain bikers down at the Catalina Brewing Company one Monday night to talk about all the issues with the WAPA Trail. And like John Spiker, who spoke earlier, I just wanted to, on behalf of our bike club, show our appreciation to Bayer. We know from the research that people that mountain bike and bicycle are healthier, they have lower blood pressure, they have lower weights, and they actually live 14 months longer than most people. So we want to help Bayer live longer. So we've bought for him a Bluetooth-enabled speaker that mounts on his handlebars. Oh, wow. And it also doubles as a horn, so he can listen to his favorite music, join us out on the mountain bike trails, and bring along his favorite iPod music. So thanks very much.
Thank you. You just handed it to Mr. Standish right there.
I love that.
Oh, I remember the question. So, Stacy, there was a gentleman, or maybe Gary for a town attorney, there was a gentleman who spoke his skepticism about the bonds actually retiring after 20 years. So that is law, that the council cannot reauthorize that without going back to voter approval. The council cannot extend it. It has to sunset. Is that not correct?
Yeah, Mayor, members of the council, that is correct. I think the speaker is probably confusing this secondary property tax with the primary property tax. They're different things. And this is term limited. Once it's paid off, it goes away, unless the voters reapprove a new tax.
All right. So before we get to any further discussion, I'll make the motion. I move to approve resolution number R17-17, ordering and calling a special bond election to be held in and for the town of Oro Valley, Arizona, on November 7, 2017, to submit the decision to the qualified electors thereof, the question of authorizing the issuance and sale of general obligation bonds and secondary property tax as security in the amount of $17 million for the improvements for Narana Park.
Second.
There's a second. Any further discussion?
Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Solomon.
Just one brief point, reiterating the statement you made at the last council meeting. All council is voting on tonight is whether or not to put this measure to the voters of Oro Valley. We're not deciding whether or not there'll be a bond or a property tax. So we're doing what people typically call for. We're letting the residents of the town make the decision. And it's going to be up to the interested groups to go out in the community and convince the community and their neighbors that this is in the best interest of the residents of Oro Valley. So that's basically where it lies. We're just putting this on the ballot to allow the residents to vote on this issue and determine whether or not they feel it's a justified need to approve this bond issue and the secondary property tax.
Councilman Rodman?
Obviously this is ultimately the decision that's going to be made in November is a tough one for everybody to have to decide, and it was a tough one for me to figure out where I stood on this issue. But unless some of the things that got me to tip one direction was that the change in demographics in our town are way ahead of what we can do on a pay-as-you-go basis. And we heard that again and again when we heard again tonight, 15 years at the minimum to get what we need to get. And yet our town has flipped from majority seniors to majority younger families. I think there's a quality of life issue for those families that are looking to where they're going to move to come in and buy the houses, of those of us who might be selling those houses to move into some other kind of housing. We need that quality of life. We want to attract and retain these businesses, especially in Innovation Park, but across the town. And they're going to look at the quality of life of their employees. They're going to come in, their younger families, and those kids, those families, the spouses, et cetera, are looking at what else can we do. What can we do if we're going there, if we take this transfer, if we come and we stay? So the economic development side is important. It just is. And to adding to the golf courses and the aquatic center and the other parks, et cetera, that are quality of life. I think sports tourism, I heard about it again, and it is what we do here. It is one of our major goals, one of our major things, strategies. And again, this is right there. I heard it again and again. that the folks coming in for the tournaments, they're going to stay in our hotels, eat in our restaurants, buy in our shops. We have the Hilton Hotel, which is one of two resorts in the entire region that can handle the kinds of influx of folks to come to tournaments of various kinds. It's there, so we have the place for that. And finally, a couple of years ago when I sat in the audience and heard about how the voters didn't have a chance to talk about the golf course or the community center complex, in that case, there was a circumstance that didn't allow for that time, and then when the referendum was tried, in fact, there was a defect in it, and it didn't happen. There wasn't the time, and it didn't happen. Here we have the time. Here we have, we listened, we've heard the pro and con, we will hear it between now and November 7th, and we have the time for the town to figure out, is this in our best interest? Will we pay that $50 a year, or won't we? And so I think this is the fair thing to do. It's what democracy's about. And so the fact that we are responding to a request from a significant portion of our community is simply what democracies do. It's messy, and we have differing opinions, and eventually on November 7th we'll figure out which way we're going to go. But I've been convinced to be on the side of voting for your motion. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Councilmember Pena.
Yeah, I just want to say I think it's important to recognize that everybody, or there's a lot of people who took their time and effort to let us know how they felt about this, the improvements going on at Naranja Park. A couple things, takeaways in this process. We've learned that there is a great need for it because it truly is, it's youth-oriented, but there's a lot of benefits to these improvements that all of our community will get to take advantage of. The other piece that I think we all recognize is it is a sensitive issue, and we recognize that. So because those two factors alone are very, very compelling in and of themselves, it makes sense to take this to a vote, to give our citizens the opportunity to make their voice heard, and they make the decision.
Vice Mayor Waters?
I'd just like to, I forgot my question. It's contagious.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm reflecting on, I did a study today back to the mid-1800s on how property values increase with the existence of parks and green space. It's a fact of life. So that's something to consider. I'm not gonna be going out campaigning for or against this. I'm just giving myself time to analyze it, and that was my question. This isn't the last word, is it, as far as public comment is concerned? As people digest this now, will they have opportunity to give us added guidance from their perspective?
Well, Mayor and Vice Mayor Waters, they can always provide comment to the council, but really it'll be up to the voters now to decide on the ballot.
So this is a done deal as far as?
Well, it depends what the voters do in November.
Mr. Standish.
Mr. Mayor, Vice Mayor Waters, the town residents would also have the chance to submit a argument for or against the bond during that specified time frame to have that included in the publicity pamphlet.
I understand. Thank you.
All right. With that, there's no further discussion.
Mr. Mayor.
Councilman Snyder.
Thank you very much. Is this too loud? I know we were having some technical problems.
No, that's actually good.
Great, thank you. I just want to make a statement in general about the fact that it has been 10 years since the community weighed in on an issue about Naranja Park. Back then, it was a $48 million complex project. As we know, as we've all observed, as many of our speakers have observed, our community demographics have shifted greatly in that 10-year span. And now this group of citizens, a significant group, has come forward and asked that the community weigh in again. 10 years later, this is a significantly different package at $17 million. I think it's important to point out that council and staff, once this vote is taken, whether or not to send it to a ballot, cannot go out and advocate for or against this. This is going to be up to our residents who are registered to vote to make this decision. And we're going to honor that decision whichever way it goes. Just verify, speakers mentioned that the town did a survey and there were 10,000 signatures. The town did no survey that resulted in 10,000 signatures. What the town did was Your Voice, Our Future, the general plan, which many of its tenants support, this action, and because of that, I am going to vote to move it forward, but I wanted to make that statement. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Any further? Councilmember Hornet.
Just to not be the only council member who didn't comment. I will say that I'm always interested in the will of the people. We all are here at the will of the people. And when we get to do something like this, to turn it over to the people to make a decision, right or wrong, it's their decision, and I'm always very comfortable with that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. All right, with that, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Any future agenda items, council? There being none, there are no call to the audience. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved.
All right, motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you.